Hi, everybody. This is Advice for Life with Lynn. Today's issue is how to attract what you want that goes beyond intention and hits true manifestation.
Is that the third element?
So
the missing key?
So the emotions are the missing key to the law of attraction. Everything in the universe fits into one of three categories, or what I call are three different elements, but in no particular order. Our thoughts and information are one category or element. Our physical body and the physical world is the second. And then the third one, which I find is the key and most powerful, is our emotions.
You have problems? She has answers. Getting down to the nitty-gritty with people who know what they're talking about. This is Advice for Life with Lynn.
Most people have heard of the law of attraction. It became really widely talked about after the book and the movie The Secret came out years ago. And there were different perspectives on this law of attraction that emphasize using your mind to get what you want. Some people finally felt that finally they found the recipe to getting what they want in life by using this law of attraction. And others felt the theory was a bunch of woo-woo stuff and it was just wishing for something, which was a bunch of hogwash. So whatever the reaction the world had about the concept of the law of attraction, at least I think it was a good thing because it got people thinking about awareness and thought and the energy behind them. But it doesn't always work. And there's a reason. If you've ever had a vision board or you practice visualization to get what you want, or you're doing those positive affirmations and meditating and still you feel stuck, you're not getting what you want, you're not where you want to be or what you want to feel, what you've been trying to manifest hasn't shown up. There is something you might be missing, that according to our guest who's discovered this missing key. His name is Randy Lyman. He's the author of the number one new book on personal growth, you know, that's my jam, that makes him look at personal growth differently. And maybe you'll look at personal growth differently. He has a really interesting background. He's been a very successful businessman and scientist. And somewhere along the line, he realized that emotional awareness can lead to success in all aspects of life. Randy, thank you for coming.
Great to be here, Lynn.
So please tell our listeners, how did you go from businessman and physicist, scientist to a personal growth expert?
Well, 36 years ago, I was absolutely all left brain. And I met a woman I ended up spending 3 years with, and she introduced me to the unseen side of life, the spiritual, emotional side of life. And it was all new to me, and any emotions that I had prior to that, I'd always pushed down because I had anger, loneliness, frustration, all those things. And so to find success, I thought the recipe was, I'm going to be smart, have positive thoughts, and work hard, and that's going to be enough. So I achieved good success. I had multiple million-dollar businesses, but I really wasn't happy, and I definitely wasn't fulfilled. So during my time with Maria, I got through a lot of my personal issues. She held a space where I was able to feel my pain and let it go. Now, I didn't understand the connection at that point in time between emotions and the law of attraction, but I was making progress, and she taught me about the law of attraction and how our thoughts create our reality, etc. But I made it quite a ways into more success, but then I finally had a breakthrough at a 4-day business retreat where we about 15 of us there. We partnered up, and the exercise was the 7 levels of truth. So the person I was partnered up with, he's asking me questions about my current challenge, which was incompetent people in my life. And so Maria said, if you want to fix the problem outside yourself, you got to look at yourself. So I'm looking at myself. How do I be more competent in my thoughts and my actions?
Hold on a second, because that's a really key point you just breezed through. So before, you were looking toward the outside world and like all these incompetent a-holes.
And I'm going to try and change them before
right.
I met Maria.
That's very common.
Right, that's common. I got to change the world around me.
Right, it's them, not me.
Oh, it's never me. Of course
right.
It's never me.
And she challenged you to look within. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
So she says, look within. I did. I still didn't get results. For a couple months, I'm going through this. It's a big issue for me.
Uh-huh.
So I go to this retreat. I have this breakthrough to remember something that my uncle had said 12 years earlier that made me feel that I didn't have my family's approval. And so I overachieved. I thought I could use my competence to get my family's approval and love.
What did he say that triggered you?
He said, I wish you were more like your friend John.
Oh,
he was drunk on his 40th birthday. And when he said, I wish you're more like your friend John, what he meant was, I connect with John, I don't connect with you, I love you, and I really want to connect with you, and I wish we had this deeper connection.
But what you heard was not that. What did you hear?
I heard that I don't know how to connect with you, something wrong with you.
Right. You're not good enough.
You're not good enough. That's what I heard.
Right.
So it was great. As a, my soul's path, it really motivated me to overachieve.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my success came from trying to gain my family's approval. Well, then I get to the point where I'm 30 years old and 29 to 30, and I get through this emotional breakthrough. And so I'm the first person to break in this group of 15 people on the third day. And I just break down. I'm in tears. I'm bawling. I'm letting all this energy out because I forgot about it. I didn't even know how hard it hit me at the time. So I get through the emotional release around something somebody said to me that hurt me. And my reaction was, I'm not competent enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 4 days later, I go back to work. And the people around me who were incompetent, there were six different people around me who were incompetent. They suddenly either became competent or they left my life. Like a miracle. Just like nothing happened for me. They changed. The outside world changed when I had the emotional release.
Are you sure your perception of them didn't change?
No, my perception didn't change because as a physicist, I look at everything to really fine detail. What's really going on? What's causing this? And because Maria had been prompting me, look at yourself, look at them.
Uh-huh.
What's really going on here? So I'd put a lot of attention to it.
Okay. So I'm nitpicking. So what can you show, can you give me an example of what their incompetence looked like? Because I'm asking because a lot of times we say, oh, that person's an idiot. Well, what do you mean? Can you give me like a non-emotional statement about how they were incompetent? Example.
Somebody who's getting to, coming to work late.
Okay. There
constantly.
You go. Okay. That's incompetence.
Or they, were not able to figure out something in accounting.
Okay.
And they're supposed to be CPA level and they just can't figure out how to balance the books. So physical things, not just interactions in the way of behaviors or relationship, but actually what they were doing in their life and their contribution in life in a operational way was incompetent.
So after you have this breakthrough, some of them became competent on time, did their work correctly, and others left.
Others just left for some reason. They left and got another job, or there were friends who moved away, and it all happened within 4 days, and I hadn't interacted with them over the weekend. So it was me as a scientist, cause and effect, always cause and effect. So the cause was my release. The effect was the competence issues that I had been experiencing were resolved.
Oh, God, we could go deep. So can I go back to
What
exercise did you do? Because you said you forgot about this pain, this story you made up that I'm not good enough because of this drunk uncle or whatever it was.
Right.
What exercise did you do to get there?
The seven levels of truth is one of the 14 different exercises I include in chapter 7 of the book. So in my book, The Third Element, in chapter 7, one of the exercises, seven levels of truth, says, okay, I have this problem about the outside world. How does that affect me? What's the issue? Why does it bother me? So people in my life are incompetent. Why does that bother you? Well, because then my business won't be as successful. What if your business is not successful? Then I look like I'm incompetent. And I'm just jumping some levels here.
It's like you're peeling an onion.
Peeling an onion. And so what if your business fails? Well, then I'll look like a failure to my family. And that was the deepest level. And it usually is around belonging because we're tribal people. If we're 3 or 4 years old and we're thrown out on our own outside of our family or outside of our tribe at least 1,000 years ago, we're not going to survive. Well, that's instinctual. So most people's issues come down to belonging. And am I good enough? That's a deep hole we're not going to go down today,
but
we
can. No, but it is true. It is all, to me, in all my work, everything comes down to not feeling good enough. So when you got to the center of your onion, not feeling good enough, like what was your physical reaction? Were you crying?
Oh, I was crying.
Okay.
I was 29 or 30 years old, but still a grown man. I'm bawling. I'm just, uh-huh. It's coming out. And it was so pure and so strong. There was no stopping it. Now in this, arena, I was the first one to crack, so to speak. And then pretty soon other people are getting through their issues. It works that way in a group.
Yeah, that's
as
great.
You know, it's the energy.
Yes, yes.
Law of attraction. So I had the big physical release, and I'm not an emotional guy. I'm still today. I'm very comfortable with emotions, mm-hmm. but I'm not an emotional guy who reacts with emotion first.
Mm-hmm.
I take action.
You do seem like a scientist first.
I take action, I think, and then I'm emotional. Now, mm-hmm. I think through everything, and I overthink everything still. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But,
thank you.
Well, so What was your question again?
Oh, good question. Well, you answered it. I wanted to know how you got to the center of your onion of not feeling good enough, and you explained it by doing the seven levels of truth. Okay, so you came back. You had this movement of energy within you. The incompetent people left. The ones who were left became competent, and that's the miracle in... Is that the third element?
So
the missing key?
So the emotions are the missing key to the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. Everything in the universe fits into one of three categories, or what I call are three different elements, but in no particular order. Our thoughts mm-hmm. and information are one category or element. Our physical body and the physical world is the second. And then the third one, which I find is the key and most powerful, is our emotions. Now, I'll expand on this. The reason it's such a challenge is because our emotions are bigger than time and space. They don't heal on their own in time, and we can't heal them with our mind. Our emotions can only be experienced through our physical body. Our physical body is only in the present moment, in the now. Our thinking mind is never in the present moment. So no matter how much I try and think my way through my emotional challenge, it cannot be processed. So when I get to a place of being aware of my physical body, feeling my breath, yoga, whatever it might be, then I'm in a place in the present moment
Correct.
Where the emotions can come through and be released. So emotions are like gasoline, being bigger than time and space. I can store them, like storing gasoline in a metal can for 10 or 20 years. And when I pour it out, it's still volatile. It's going to burn. But once it's burned, it's gone. So what happens is the law of attraction, here's the two rules. God has two rules. One is love wins, meaning when I respond to any situation from a place of love and caring rather than fear, I can find a lasting solution. It's the first rule. Second rule is there's no other rules except the law of attraction.
Hmm.
So no judgment, no expectations. God says you're a spark, you're a part of me. Go down there and forget about who you are and have this experience with your own free will and your own choice, and eventually find your way back to love is the answer. So along the way, there are definitely consequences, even though there's no rules or expectations or consequences. So the law of attraction, and this is proven or being proved now at a quantum level. It was based on Heisenberg's uncertainty principle from 1927. And it says that energy becomes matter when it is observed or called into action.
Hmm.
So light, for example, light energy, or even at an electron level energy, acts like a wave until it's observed. So the double slit observation that was done in 1927 also, separate from Werner Heisenberg, ran light through a double slit and on the backside against a wall or a target. It acted like a wave in the way the interference pattern was. And then they opened the lid on the experiment and watched with human eyes without touching anything. And suddenly these light particles acted like particles.
What does that mean?
Solid particles in there. There's on the backside of the slits on the target. The first pattern is a overlaying that looks like two waves instead of distinct slits. There's a gradient. They go gradually from light to dark. That's how waves interfere after going through a slit. But when they didn't watch it and they sent these particles when they did watch it, by human observation only, these light particles were called into form.
So just by noticing something.
By observing, human observation of their eyes only, just by observing.
Changes energy.
Changes the energy, and it's called into matter.
Mm.
So the uncertainty principle says, we can't understand everything about light or a particle at a what they call a quantum level, because there's a fourth dimension. So right now, there's a reality where we're having this interview in a different room, but we're focused on this reality right here. It's just like Marvel multiverse.
I am so dumb. I do not understand anything you've been talking about. I mean, I kind of understand. So could you water it down for like kindergarten level?
Absolutely. So as we walk through our life, we're mostly aware of how our physical actions create our reality.
Yes.
That's obvious. If I turn left, my car's going down the road that direction. If I walk through a doorway, I'm walking through that doorway. But what's created also for us, co-created by the law of attraction, is our relationships, the weather, things outside of our direct physical control.
Mm-hmm.
So what people say, what people think, where they walk, how they act, all those things are co-created as intentionally for us as our physical world when we open a door and walk into another room. So moment to moment, our reality is being created for us in response to the vibration, harmonic resonance, in response to the vibration of our thoughts, the vibration of our physical body, which again, we talk about, that's pretty obvious, and our emotions both in the moment and unseen.
The unseen emotion of your clogged, that old feeling of not feeling good enough.
Yes. And so what happens is, again, emotions are bigger than time and space. The mind is never in the present moment, and the body is only in the present moment. So in order to feel the old emotions and let them go, I have to be in the present moment. And I have to have a physical sensation. So the way emotions work are, I have an interaction, and my mind makes up a story. Oh, this is good. So I get this good emotional reaction as part of the first brain, dinosaur brain, whatever, intuitive part, and go towards the good, happy emotion. If I have a bad experience and my brain says, no, this isn't good, then I have a bad emotion, which is a guidance system valid in the moment, but only in that moment. Move away from this. So say I'm in the eighth grade and I'm sitting next to a girl I got a crush on and somebody makes fun of me and embarrasses me. That's a big deal in the eighth grade, right? Trying to figure the world out. A lot of major trauma, and some people have some really major trauma. I'm fortunate. My life's been pretty good. But and I don't remember if somebody made fun of me in the eighth grade or not, but for that reason.
But it can be traumatic to an eighth grader.
It can be traumatic. So then I don't want to feel it. I'm going to be tough. I'm a man now. I'm 14 or whatever, 13. And I stuff that down, and I don't feel that emotion, which was guidance in the moment. It doesn't go away until I find a time in the future to re-experience that.
So let's go back to The Third Element, which is the title of Randy's book. And I like the bottom of the book. It says, the missing key to activating the law of attraction. So for those of who are listening to this podcast probably want something in their life, or they want to manifest, create something in their life, and they're like, oh, let me find out why I'm not getting what I want. Watered down, you're saying maybe you're not getting what you want because you're not feeling your feelings.
Not feeling our feelings today, or not being open enough to feel our wounds from the past. So the law of attraction in its infinite wisdom says, if you have pain, I'm going to remind you of the pain so you have the opportunity to heal. Because Source loves us, it's going to remind us of that pain so we can release the pain. But if we don't make the connection between the experience of frustration today and things that bother us today and the opportunity to heal from the past, we just try and change the outside world. We don't see it as a gift.
So you're saying first you need to have awareness.
Yes.
Look within instead of projecting all your problems on the world. Everybody, those incompetent people need to change.
Absolutely.
So look within, number one. And number two, go deep. Go inside.
So people say, and some people say, use your emotion and your feeling as a guidance system. It's only valuable in the moment. Once the moment is passed, it's no longer valuable. So when pain comes up, I dive into my pain. And I've worked with hundreds of people where I say, okay, what are you feeling? We're going to feel this. It hurts. I don't want to feel this. Okay, well,
right.
When you do, it can be released. If we stay on the surface, that energy will stay within your beingness, within your body, in your energy field forever until you're willing to cry the tears and feel the pain. Now, we don't always have to cry the tears, but in a sense, we have to feel whatever that feeling was to burn off that energy from the past.
I get you. I just want to go run through, make sure I haven't missed anything here. Well, I'm going to ask you, you already answered everything, but I'm going to ask you questions that you've already answered, but maybe you'll answer it differently just to help, because this is a big concept, I think, for a lot of people. Number one, look at myself instead of projecting on the world, because it's a two-parter. And number two, you know, feel your feelings. All right. How does our past, our wounds affect our world today? You've already explained it, but can you give me some examples?
Well, in chapter two, I talk about why evil exists. And one of the reasons evil exists is through the law of attraction, in response to bad things we're thinking or doing. And also bad things can happen to us to remind us of something in the past. So, for example, I'm in an important dinner with my family and I want to say something. Whether I'm four or whether I'm 14 or 24 and somebody cuts me off. And I feel emotion about that. I feel embarrassed or I feel that I had a right to speak up and now I've been betrayed by my family. Whatever emotion it is, I store that. I have to shut that off. Okay, now, 10 years later, whatever it is, I'm cut off in traffic. Somebody cut me off. Is it the same? No, it's not exactly the same. But somebody cuts me off in traffic. I get upset. flip them a gesture, whatever I do. Mm-hmm. I'm angry. I'm mad at them. They're the problem. Well, wait a minute. That's a reminder of a pain from the past that I can feel. So now I can use meditation. I can use breath work, EFT tapping. I cover all these in the book. And if I have a way to dive into that pain and re-experience the original pain from when I was embarrassed at the family dinner table or betrayed or that emotion came up, if I can feel that pain completely, that's the hard part because ego doesn't want us to feel that kind of pain. If we can have our ego learn to partner with our higher self through our intuition and our inner child, then it will learn in time that as we are bold enough, as we're brave enough to feel the pain of those old emotions and work through them and let them go, our external world gets better. And I used to get cut off in traffic a lot. After working through the emotional wounds, people don't cut me off in traffic. And if they do, I have no response. It doesn't. There's no resonance there because I no longer have the need to heal that old emotion.
So let's go back to being cut off and you're flipping the bird. You know, my problem is it's timing. So what do you pull over and go, okay, what am I feeling?
Oh, that's
where is
a great
this coming
question.
From? Do I have to schedule it?
Okay, so I talk to executives and I say, okay, you're going into a board meeting and you're feeling whatever it might be, nervous, you're feeling angry at somebody you work with or something didn't turn out the way you wanted. Be aware of the emotion and write it down for two reasons. One is we've written it down, and this is great for left brain people like me who don't want to feel. Write it down. That way you know you don't have to.
Oh, schedule it. I like
schedule
it.
Schedule it. Yeah, you're going to schedule it. As you said, schedule it. So you're going to schedule it and get to it later.
Yeah, put it in a box and I'll work on you later.
And once we acknowledge something, it doesn't have to fight for our attention. So for those of you who have children, if you got a child who wants your attention, they say mom or dad, and then they get louder and they tug on your pant leg and then they go break something. The law of attraction is the same way. If we acknowledge what we need to work with, it doesn't have to keep amplifying the problems in our life to get our attention. So write it down. Then I go to, and we'll just jump into one of the methods I use for people, especially left brain people. Oh, you have these problems? Let's write down three columns. The left column is, what is the problem? And the center column is, what's the obvious operational type solution? And then the third column is, what's the underlying feeling or frustration? How does this bother us? What's it feel like? That's the real power.
I like that. I like that method because, you know, sometimes I've said that to myself, I'm going to put this in a box. I call it the box. I put it in a box. It's a linen box in my mind and it has a lid on it. And I put it on the shelf somewhere. I'm going to deal with those feelings later. But I never had a method. So I like that. So, okay, it's time to deal with our feelings. Let's go through 1, 2, 3 columns. That's helpful.
The other thing it does is the thinking mind wants to be in control. So if I'm going to do any type of exercise, I need my mind to know it could stop the process at any point in time. It's guiding me through the process. So the mind protects us from everything except itself. It protects us from physical pain. It protects us from emotional pain. But the only way to remove the emotional pain, again, is to find a way to dive into it. So if we're doing a tapping, EFT tapping is my favorite. Because now my mind is involved. It's guiding me through the process. It feels safe. It's in control. I'm tapping on physical meridians in my body to let emotional energy come through. So I'm involving all three elements, my mind, my body, and emotions. But again, the mind has to be participating. And so I'm distracting my mind.
It needs a project.
I'm distracting my mind. And at the same time, I'm letting my mind feel safe. Because if my mind doesn't feel safe, it's going to say, nope, no emotions today. Because emotions are in a box like Pandora's box. You open that box. Oh, I want my good emotions. Well, you're going to get the bad ones too. So that's another reason that I tell people, let's look at your challenges and the pain because you have some good emotions you're probably missing right now. And you want to feel that every day of your life. Joy, anticipation, love, connection with loved ones. So when we shut off our painful emotions, we shut off all of our emotions, even if we don't want to.
I never realized that. In your book, you say you reconnected and cleared your feelings. I think that was in your introduction. What do you mean?
Well, first, I had to set the intention that I'm going to uncover my old emotional wounds and pain that I didn't want to uncover. And again, I had a good childhood, but for any child, a child can take any experience and make it traumatic.
Absolutely. And every human does that. It's just part of being human.
So once I had a few good results from releases, then I said, okay, I understand this now. This makes sense. This is cause and effect. I understand the equation, which is dive into the pain and life gets better. And the other thing, I'm a tangent for just a moment, I also had the experiences when I'd have a deeper emotional release, as I'd let the energy go, that I'd feel the sense of warmth and love come through and replace the old pain I was holding on to. So yeah, it was painful to go through, but the reward was I'm going to feel better. And my life started getting better. My relationships were better. My business was more successful. So then my goal was anytime irritation comes up, let's dive into the pain. And so I've been doing this for 36 years. I hope I'm halfway through.
Why do you say halfway?
Well, it's just a joke, meaning as long as we're here on the planet, we're going to have emotions. And we're going to have things that irritate us. And we're going to have remnants, no matter how many layers we take off the onion, until we really get to the core of that onion. We're going to have other layers to get to a deeper part of ourself. And to become evolved, if I want to become a monk, if I want to become the Pope, if I want to become whoever I am, where I am more spiritually evolved, it's a matter of removing the layers that are between me and my God self.
Can you be... because we talk about law of attraction manifesting, and a lot of people think manifesting physical things like a good job or a home or money or vacation, whatever. Tell me how Source and God comes into all of that. In your book, you're
absolutely
very clear. You even say, I'm paraphrasing, I can't remember exactly what you said, but something like, you don't even need to believe in God, but there is... You need to believe in another
but
element.
Believe in something bigger than us.
Right, okay.
And even if that doesn't exist, just suspend your doubts and try it. Because what else are we going to do? Go around being upset and having bad thoughts? And
but what does Source okay, God source, have source, to do with manifesting?
Because our reality is co-created between our personality, our soul, and Source through the law of attraction. And that's it. Again, there's no rules and no expectations, but there's consequences. And if I want to change my reality, I need all three elements to come into alignment the best I can, never perfectly, but good enough. My thoughts, my physical actions, and how I feel my emotions, present time, and healing my emotional wounds from the past. Mm-hmm. So if I have my thoughts on a new house, and I have the money, and I'm taking the action, I've talked to a realtor, and I'm ready for this new house, and I'm not finding the house I want. Well, if I look at the emotional side and I have some sort of blockage or a wound from the past about deservedness, deservedness is a bit of a big issue for me. Well, now I go back and I deal with that through acupuncture, through massage, through working out at the gym, punching a punching bag, physical release, and feeling this emotional healing. And this happened to me in the first house I bought. Now I have this healing. And it has nothing to do with the realtor. It has nothing to do with my intentions. It has nothing to do with the action I'm taking. Suddenly, when I heal this emotional wound, my realtor calls me up the next day or 2 days later and says, hey, I found the perfect house.
So you got to a program that was running you unconsciously that had something to do with deserving. I didn't deserve this.
Yes.
You were blocking the house.
Exactly.
So when you got to the block, you felt that undeserving old feeling, old program, the path
opened
cleared.
Up, cleared, and it looks like a miracle. But now once a person experiences this 5 or 6 or 10 times, then they say, wow, this does work. You experience it 1,000 times plus, it's like, oh, that's the only way to live. And the miracles happen every day. And then the challenge with becoming more clear is we have to be more intentional about our thoughts. We have to be more intentional about our actions, and we have to be more aware of our emotions. But when we do, I meet the right people. If I'm late because I forgot my car keys, I missed being in a wreck that was ahead of me. And those kind of miracles happen every day.
At the good, yes.
And the good happens. So we find what we go looking for. And I didn't expand on this a lot in the book. But if I go looking for good, I'm going to find good. If I go looking for problems, law of attraction says, oh, I'll bring you problems.
What you focus on grows.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, I knew that. I don't know why I'm like acting like I didn't know that. But it's worth like putting a tattoo on.
And what we resist persists.
Correct.
Because if I don't want it to rain, and I talk about this in the book, the universe doesn't hear negation. It doesn't negate what we want. It just hears the noun. Okay, I don't want it to rain. It hears rain. If I say sunny, I want sunny skies or warmth, it hears that. But if it says I don't want something, it doesn't hear the negation.
Or I'm afraid of blah, blah.
Right, I'm afraid of this. And then I'm thinking it, I'm feeling it, that the vibrations of the thoughts, the vibrations of the emotions around what I don't want is the vibration the law of attraction responds to. It doesn't judge us. It doesn't turn on or off. It just says, what do you think? What do you feel? Feeling being the most powerful, because feelings, again, I've said it several times.
Feelings are fuel.
Bigger than time and space.
Yeah.
And think about when we connect with loved ones. If we don't think we're enjoying our time with them, we feel our time with them. When we have, say, your son or daughter graduates or wins a soccer game or whatever it is it, oh, I think this is good? No, we feel it when we're really, truly in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
When a loved one passes, and we get to let them go, we have a sense of grieving. Grieving is about feeling the pain to release it. So now we can have the good memories. And here's an interesting thing about emotions and a law of attraction and human experience is the only thing that's real is love. So all the pain, once we feel the pain completely, we forget about it. It's gone. But what we gain from the experience, we keep. And all the wonderful, emotional, happy, loving, deep experiences that touch us in a good way, those are real and we hang on to those. But the pain goes away the moment we feel it completely. It's erased. It dissolves.
I never thought about it that way. Yes, that's true. I'm always going to go back to watering things down because that's what I relate to. And I think a lot of our listeners do too. Yes. So in terms of manifesting, I'm trying to think. There have been definite times in my life I've manifested somewhat on purpose. I remember one year I wanted, we go skiing every year, and I wanted a new ski jacket. I wanted something to look different in a picture this year, right? But I couldn't afford it. I had two kids, raising them, whatever, one in private school. And I remember just walking around my house going, God, what could I do? What could I do? What could I do? And I cut out a picture and I put it on my vision board and I let it go. And I looked at the picture every day, not with yearning or angst, but just, and then it came to me like on the third day, oh my God, I've got that yellow jacket. It's not exactly a snow suit, but it's a different, and I've never worn it. It's got fur around it. Let me dig that out. And I felt great. So, I mean, I manifested the feeling I wanted was to look cute in something different. It did, I thought in my head it had to be purchased, but actually it just showed up on the third day as something I already had. So what happened there? I guess I didn't, if I had a negative feeling that was running me, like, oh, I'm not good enough, I don't have money.
You wouldn't have found it.
Right.
And you wouldn't have accepted that solution that God provided you. When we surrender, say, this is the goal I want. God wants us to have our own goals and aspirations and desires. But the path to achieving those and what they look like when we finally arrive, God has a better idea of how to get there than we do. God has a better idea of what the goal is going to look like and how it's going to feel and serve us when we arrived there. So we set our intention. I had a day once when I first learned to manifest, and I asked the universe, show me today what you want. It was a boring day. I get to the end of the day. I said, okay, what was this all about? And the message I got was, this isn't about us and what God wants for you. This is, what do you want for yourself? And if it's on path with something that serves you and all of society and humankind, then we'll help you get there. But you have to decide what you want.
So you asked for what day? What kind of day did you, what was your intention?
Universe. It was, universe, show me what you want today.
Okay.
It's your day. You show me what you want me to do. What's this all about from your perspective? And it was boring. It was a blah, nice day, but boring. And then at the end of the day, I asked, what was this all about? Nothing happened. Because you didn't ask for anything. We're here to serve you and help you have your experience on this path, this human path, a spiritual being on a human path to have all these experiences through our free will and our own choices.
Oh, well, you just dumped a bunch of stuff there. You didn't get that in a text message. You didn't get that in an email.
So I learned to be intuitive. I am very intuitive. I'm very connected. Some people call it gut feel. Some people call it women's intuition. I've helped a lot of women understand their intuition because Maria helped me on this path 36 years ago.
So you asked, and then when it went inside to your gut, what was your gut telling
you? Like meditating, and my gut told me, my mind, a message to my mind. Some people get colors, sounds, pictures, and I hear words. I hear just like somebody speaking to me, and it was, this isn't about us. This is about what you want. So every one of us,
So go ahead and ask for what you want. Is what the message
was. Ask for what you want. This is what. So,
right.
So God's bored. God says, "This is boring. I already know what's going to happen. I want
True.
Something that's
seen the movie.
Yeah, something's unpredictable. Yeah. So I'm going to send out sparks of myself, little divine sparks of the divine source of energy, and forget about who you are, and go out and." And incarnate on this planet or another planet or whatever. I'm a big believer in reincarnation, multiple planets and all that, and realities. Go out and figure out, first of all, where's the food and water and shelter? How do I survive? And that might take 100 lifetimes, and then you spend another 100 lifetimes learning some skill sets, and then you learn to get along with groups of people, and then we learn that power and wealth doesn't bring happiness. And then after lap, like, I don't know, 900, who knows exactly? I can't prove any of this. It's all theory. I say, wow, well, maybe I need to look to something bigger than myself. And it seems like this love thing of caring and putting aside my anger, this seems to work for some people. So I'm going to try this.
Uh-huh.
And after maybe 100 lifetimes, or maybe it took me 200 lifetimes, I say, wow, this is the answer. And to surrender and have my desires and to take the right action, we can't just think, we can't just take the action, we can't just emote. We have to have all three in balance, like a three-legged stool, my thoughts, my actions, and my emotions. And when we find a balance and we find harmony within our life, in our physical world, in our relationships with our family, our friends, and the people we work with, and people we don't even know, and when we're always open to feeling what comes through us, good, bad, or otherwise, and we find that balance, then our life improves.
So when you want something now, Randy, like, is this your first book? No.
This is my first book in this genre. I wrote a big technical book 25
years ago. Right, it's your first self-help.
Self-help, to answer your question. That's a short answer, yes.
Okay, so when you wrote it, did you want to manifest anything for yourself in terms of getting it out there? Like, how are you using this method now in your own life to manifest what you want?
Well, while I was writing the book, it took me 4 years to write the book to get all the thoughts I wanted in there in a way that was easy enough to read and included my stories so that people would enjoy reading the book, because there's a lot packed in there. It took me 4 years to do that. During that 4 years, I had to re-experience every concept that I was sharing. So I had a situation a few years ago where people in my neighborhood, an HOA, were making up stories, basically telling lies and attacking me.
Love HOA. Yeah.
And I'm writing about
peace.
And I quote, yeah, peace. I'm writing about peace, and I quote Jesus, and you're turning the other cheek, which means when somebody attacks us, find a place to find healing, see the gift in the interaction, and respond from a place of love. And I had to do that before my outside world, my relationship with my neighbors, changed. And when I got through my emotions from being betrayed,
right. Let's say they say some lies about you. You had to go to your feelings.
I'm feeling
feelings. Betrayed. I'm feeling pissed off. Whatever.
Lawyers can't fix that stuff. We can fix that stuff.
I see.
Now, lawyers help. But first, we have to do the inner work. So I did the inner work.
So your HOA gave you an opportunity.
Oh, it's a gift.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity. Absolutely. Every irritation is.
Yes.
So Heisenberg's uncertainty principle says we can't understand subatomic particles, momentum and position at the same time. Randy's certainty principle says any irritation we have today in life is related back to an old emotional wound. Every single one.
Say that again.
Every single irritation. Somebody does something I don't want or doesn't do something I do want, or the weather's not the way I like and I feel irritated. The fact that I'm feeling emotions, feeling irritated, feeling something should be changed, I'm blaming, that always links back to an emotional wound from the past on one level or another. And when I can look and say, where's the gift and what do I have to feel? Maybe I just stop and do three deep breaths and I feel a little bit, the world around me changes. Now that might sound crazy, but remember, I'm a physicist. I live in the world of equations and math and engineering, and I value that because I'm in this physical world and I need to understand the physical world and science.
I get you.
But more importantly, what do I have an opportunity to heal?
Well, you whizzed by, and I just want to repeat it for those listening, maybe in your car. What I hear Randy saying is, and correct me if I'm wrong, what we see in others, we have in ourselves. So meaning, if I think you're an asshole because you cut me off or because you're, well, let's say I got a mean email from a viewer. Actually, this happened to a coworker. It's really terrible, like nasty email on her looks. It's really not about my coworker. It's about the woman sending the email and how she feels about herself.
It's about the coworker is 8 years old, and her mom says, "You don't look good in that outfit."
Right, that's true too. Right, yeah.
And she felt embarrassment or pain or shame, or I want to be better. I want to be accepted. And that emotional wound from however many years ago, that was stored, because if it's not felt completely in the moment, it stores and waits. And the law of attraction says, "Oh, you have this wound from when your mom said that you look ugly in that dress."
And by the way, everybody can relate to this. Those old wounds, they can just be also made up. Nobody ever told me I was fat, but I remember, I think I was 7, and my Catholic school pleated a nasty skirt, and I was looking at my knees going, "God, if I could just cut this fat off around my knees." I didn't know anything about liposuction. I didn't know anything about anything, but I was just like, I told myself I wasn't good enough.
Exactly.
So nobody told me that, but I carried that for a long time. Back to your energy thing. Back to the energy thing. You know, the magic. So that is so true. And for those of us who need, there is a part of me that needs, like, faith is faith. You can't see it. You can feel it. It's within. But some of us need, like, well, show me. I need to understand how this energy thing works. The other day I got a chakra cleansing right there. A distant healing thing. I've always been like, okay, that's so, I went through the Reiki class and everything. And there's a part of me that's like, is this really real? I feel better. But why do I feel better? I can't see it. Anyway, I did a whole hour. She worked on me, all cleaning up my chakras. I went to work. I hit Whole Foods before work, and the roads were, I'm not kidding, the roads were clear. First of all, I was happy. I felt so light and great. The roads were clear. There were 3 parking spaces open during lunchtime, which never happens. The music was playing. I'm humming, and the music was vibrant. It was different. It was the same old songs.
You were in the present moment, and the law of attraction says, "You're happy. I'll bring you more happy. You're clear. I'll bring you more clear."
I was high as a kite.
And that's real. I can tell you, that's real. That's how the world works. So this morning, my PR director, Renata, and I are driving here, and she was asking me some questions about my past, and I was talking about some times when I was kind of step going in circles in relationships and clearing things up. And what happens? The GPS says, you need to be in lane 2, and I really need to be in lane 3 for the turn. It puts me into an infinite loop of U-turns. I'm going in circles. Why? Because I was talking about my past life and going in circles, and energy of my thoughts, thinking about the past and the chaotic patterns I was stuck in the past. That's the program running in my mind as I'm telling the story. And what happens, it plays out my physical reality. And so then I have to override the GPS and get in the third lane instead of the second lane.
How'd you handle that?
It was funny.
It's
all funny now. All of it's, after 36 years, some things do still irritate me, but most of it now, it's like, okay, where's the gift?
And where's the gift? Ooh, that's the title of your next book. Where's the gift? Where's the beef? Where's the gift?
Where's the gift?
You talk about an emotional superpower in your book. What's an emotional superpower?
Just being aware of our emotions gives us access to the superpower of that third element. And once we can feel happy, once we can feel clear, once we can feel joy, the universe says, I'll bring you more of that. The first, we have to kind of fake it till we make it. First, we have to prime the pump and set the intentions. Our mind still guides everything. Our mind guides us to how we're going to dive into our emotions, how we're going to avoid them, whatever choice we make. So we set the intention, I'm going to dive into my old emotions and find healing, and I'm going to find a way to be happy. And in the meantime, I'm just going to decide in my mind I'm going to be happy. Well, the mind likes to be right.
Yes.
But my mind says I'm going to be happy. It'll find a way to be happy. And then what happens? Law of attraction says, I'll bring you more of that. And then it builds like a snowball. It's a snowball effect.
How do you handle Mr. Positive here? How do you react to negativity or what you might perceive as negative people around you?
I do my best to ground myself and understand they're going through pain and see if any of that pain resonates within me where I have an opportunity for more healing. And then I bring higher energy, love energy, unseen. Higher love energy through my 7th chakra, my crown chakra, top of my head, bring it down through my body, and I send it out from my heart to the person who's having those challenges. And I see in my mind, I visualize an opportunity for healing for them. And that loving energy that comes through that does the work, that's not me. It's bigger than me. And I ask for my guides, my angels, however you want to believe it, to help this person have a positive experience and achieve whatever healing they're ready for. I can't force it. I can't do it. It's not me. It's bigger than me. But I get the opportunity at the same time I'm holding a space for them. I have an opportunity to clear more of my own old wounds.
Because if you're irritated by somebody's negativity, something's going on within you.
That's a gift for me to be reminded of that. I went to New York City about 8 months ago. It's the first time I've been in a big city where I wasn't irritated by the things around me. A friend of mine, Ty, he's an astrologer. He's amazing. And he says, sympathy, you're feeling other people's stuff because you have your own stuff to feel. And when you get through your own stuff, now you can be in a place of empathy and you can just have love for them without having to take on their stuff or feel your own pain. First, I feel my pain. Then I acknowledge the spiritual loving being in the other person and I send them love. And I've gotten a lot better at doing that. I can't say I do it 100% of the time. I'm still human. That's the goal.
So back to manifesting, for those still feeling stuck, because you talk about that word in your book, feeling stuck, your number one piece of advice is to what?
Embrace the pain and don't run away from it. And find a exercise, a find a method that works for you, whether it's breath work or whether it's journaling, whether it's drawing, whether it's art, whether it's dancing, whatever it might be. Find, everybody's different. That's why this book is not a formula where, oh, just follow this recipe and here's the answer. This is awareness so we understand how the law of attraction works. I give people a lot of examples of how it's worked for me. But for example, breath work, there's 100 different ways to do it. Find what works for you. You don't have to find what works for your teacher or your guru or your cousin or your brother. You find what you resonate with. And every one of us is unique. Every one of us is different, but there will be a way to get to the underlying pain. For me, music is the fastest way. If I find music, and I mentioned this in the book, George Harrison, most of George Harrison's songs, his love songs are written to God. They're not written to a woman. And they might be, but you listen, they say, thank you, God, for a beautiful life. And I listen to any music that makes me sad, takes me into my emotions. Doesn't matter how we get to our emotions in the present moment.
So don't turn off the sad song.
Don't turn off the sad song. Feel it and allow it to come through you. And pretty soon, when we're out of our head and we're feeling our body, and especially if we're feeling emotions in our body, now we're at a place where we can heal.
Yeah, I was going to say, does it go away? So you're, okay, I'm going to listen to the sad song, feel sad, 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 boo-hoo.
Yes, if we allow ourselves to settle deeper into the sad. If we fight it, then it'll come back later. It'll wait forever. But if we say, okay, I'm brave enough. Brave is a key word here because it's messy.
It does take courage.
It takes courage. And so when we have the courage to dive in and feel what we have to feel, then it does get released. Now, the onion has multiple layers, and sometimes it takes 6 or 7 or 10 times to get through a thick onion to the core. But every layer brings a reward of more clarity. Every layer brings a reward of my thoughts are more effective, my actions are more effective, and the things I want to manifest in my life, the beautiful things, relationships, money, business success, all those things are more effective every time we clear out old pain.
Ooh, we can cut this if you don't want me to talk about it, but I think...
Oh, please bring it up. I don't care.
Okay, so you and I have both been married each 3 times.
Yes.
So, and I noticed when you told me before we started recording... maybe I'm projecting my own stuff, but it seemed like you had like a little shame to it. You were like, I'm on my third marriage. So how has having 3 marriages, and again, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, but some people think, oh, it didn't work. What I always say, like, well, it last. It
mine worked it, perfectly to it bring worked for my it, gifts I needed.
Right. So how perfectly. Did your, I don't want to say mistakes, but how has the third element, your book, the mindset of going to your feelings, changed your life.
So I knew in my second marriage, if I just tried to change her, or I just tried to run away, that the problem would come back again. So every single issue, and I worked through challenges for 5 years, that I just kept it to myself, and I said, I can't change her, I need to work on myself. And after 5 years, we finally went our separate way, but in my next relationship, married now, none of those old issues came up again.
Your old issues were what?
Not being listened to.
Mm.
I would have great business advice. You should do the opposite. I would have great health things that work for me. You should do the opposite.
What was your pain that was blocking you being heard?
Not being heard by my mother.
Oh, okay.
It's really what, for me, that's what most
So you were just repeating your past because you didn't know the old program that was running you.
I had the pain of, of being a child and not getting the attention that I wanted. And my mom and I have talked about this. She did the best she could. Right. She loved me, but I didn't sense that I was worthy. I didn't sense she cared. I didn't sense that I was listened to. And she had her own challenges. It had nothing to do with me, but my soul chose to make up those stories.
Right. So you working through that wounded little boy of feeling unheard cleared the path for you to attract a woman who did hear you.
Who did hear me, yes.
Ooh, so are you saying your relationships helped you as a human, your challenges helped you as a human get to your shit, get to your...
Oh, yeah. That's what I always want. As crazy as that sounds, I want the biggest wound that I can handle today to come up. And here's the thing that people want to hear. We're never given a challenge bigger than we're ready to take on.
God only gives you what you can handle.
That's true.
I'm laughing.
But it's law of attraction. Law of attraction. It's not going to bring us something that doesn't vibrate outside of what we're ready for.
Gotcha.
We take small steps.
Right.
So we can't, and I talk about this again in my book, The Third Element, you can't jump from a 4 to a 6. You go 4 to 4 and a quarter, 4 to 4 and a half, pretty easy, then 4 and a half to 5. So we don't just jump into, okay, I've got this old big wound and I'm going to take it all on once and it's just going to wipe me out. No, we go through steps as we're ready. And the universe brings us the gift of the reminder and the gift of support. And that's another thing I need to say is, I want to say this. I learned to realize when I ask the universe to support me, the right people would come along, the right situation would come along and make it easier for me to go through my healing. So what I used to ask for is, surprise me when I'm driving in the car, when I'm by myself, surprise me with something that triggers or reactivates that old emotion where I'm in a safe enough place I can work through it.
That's bold. You're asking, could you bring me a challenge? Okay.
Wow. The answer.
Yeah, Randy, that's like PhD.
So we can do this in small
ways.
How
about a mild,
Ask for it. So the universe listens.
Yeah.
Law of attraction. We set our intention. It says, okay, that's what you want. I'll bring you that the best I can with where you're vibrating. So I set the intention, bring me something small today so I can test it and see if it works. And people can do that. I learned also, get in touch with my intuition and manifesting by Maria says, visualize what you want. Okay, well, I see an orange butterfly. So I'm out that day and I see a red butterfly. I got my butterfly. Now I wanted an orange one. I'm going to believe. And like, I don't know, 30 seconds later, I see an orange butterfly. Now, these are silly little things and people could say it's just circumstance.
It's powerful.
But it's powerful. So manifesting an orange Volkswagen, manifest a song on the radio. Right? Just think about it. Hold it. Hold the thought and don't be attached.
Right.
Think about it and let it go.
Meaning, don't be attached to the outcome. Don't be yearning. Just hold the thought.
And if I'm yearning, then I'm saying, it's not here yet. It's not here yet. And then the universe says, the space, it feels the lack of that thing.
Right.
So we just sense it. Play with it. You could play with...
I breathed. When some people might be listening and say, well, I've asked to win the lottery. I play the lottery every week for 40 years and I haven't won. So this manifesting crap is crap. What do you think about that?
Two different things. One is how we're vibrating. Do we really, truly feel worthy? And then the other is our soul sets a path for us with some challenges. So before I come to the planet, I open up this brochure and say, I'm going to go to Earth. Well, hey, I have the opportunity to have a brother and this person, my mom and dad, and I can grow up in this area. And I can have a broken wrist at this point in my life, and I can have heartbreak here, and I can have health challenges here. And that's a great challenge. I want to go play this game. Let's see how this works out. So I pick my challenge, my biggest problems, my biggest issues, my biggest wounds ahead of time, a lot of them.
So if you're not winning the lottery, maybe it's because you're not supposed to.
Not supposed to.
And maybe because you are blocking it.
Okay, so if I have deservedness issues I have to work through, that's an opportunity for healing. And until I heal those and I'm really feeling deserved, I won't win the lottery. And then it might be that my path in this life is I'm not going to have great wealth. But I can still find happiness. I can still find love. I can still find fulfillment. I can live a fulfilled life without winning the lottery. I can live a fulfilled life without sacrificing my family for my career.
Well, it's just like the ski jacket. So what I asked myself was, what do I really want? I want to look cute and different in a picture. I know it's very basic, but that's what it was. It's not my job to figure out how that happens. It'll just show up, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay. And so when I say I want good health, I have to take the physical action. I have to think positive thoughts. And if I have any old emotional wounds, I have to think those, I have to feel my way through those old wounds and heal them the best I can before my physical body starts to get better. Because that's one way a lot of our old emotional wounds are stored. It's just stored in our physical body. The book, The Body Keeps Score, talks about that. And that's been a reality for me when I've had some challenges. Like I say, I have a cut on my finger and I keep cutting my right forefinger. We could say that's just an accident. Well, no, now I have a book I go to called Messages from the Body. It's 95 bucks. It's worth it. It's a great book. And it says, right forefinger. What is the issue? Oh, your family felt this or felt that about you and you had this experience. So then I think about it. I go through tapping or writing it out and I work through the emotional issue.
Is it right?
Yeah, it's right. Really? Pretty much every time.
Wow.
It's a great book. It's on my website, randylyman.com. It's one of the books I recommend in books. Section of my website on the tab. And there's a lot of great things on my website, free tapping exercises and such. So then when I heal the underlying emotion around why I'm cutting my right forefinger, I stop doing that.
I see.
It happens with my ankle. It happens with my digestion, a lot of different things. And when I say, where's the emotional block or where's the emotion to be felt? And again, people out there are going to be saying, this guy's crazy. No, I'm still a logical guy. I still believe in science. I still use my computer. I still plan my schedule. I still take action.
But you use energy also in addition to
intention and healing and feeling emotionally clear to feel whatever comes up in my day. I'm never afraid of my emotions anymore. And I'm not afraid of other people's emotions because it gives me an opportunity to hold a place of love.
That was beautiful. I want to end with a quote from Randy's book that made me tear up. Not boohoo, but it didn't make me emotional. It says, it's not only possible to build the world of your dreams, it's your birthright.
100%.
It's not only possible to build the world of your dreams, it's your birthright. In other words, it's your right to be happy, feel loved, and give love, right?
And we don't have to be perfect to do that.
Yeah, because I don't know anybody who is.
Nobody is, and we don't need to be. It's part of the experience is to find happiness and fulfillment and love in the sea of imperfection.
If you want to read Randy's book, The Third Element, it's already out there. You can find it everywhere. And your website is, tell me that again?
RandyLyman.com. That's Randy, LYMAN.com.
The Third Element. And does this emotional healing workbook come with it?
No, that's separate. We just released that. I wrote that for myself 3 years ago when I was going through some issues. Mm-hmm. And my marketing manager says, let's publish it. So this has been outselling the book by a lot because it's fun, it's easy, and it's really effective.
Easy. And this book, Emotional Healing Workbook, for those of you listening who maybe have trouble getting to your emotions, is just a good exercise. It's like, I don't know, going to the gym 101.
And take your time going through it. Mm-hmm. If you want, start in the middle. Use your intuition. Start wherever you want. I've used it probably about, I don't know, 12 or 13 times for myself. And it still helps me get in touch with what am I feeling? How do I change my thoughts? How do I release the pain?
Thank you, Randy. All right, everybody. Check out The Third Element with Randy Lyman and tell me what you think. Has your life changed in business and in love and everything else? Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
A reminder to everybody, submit your questions on adviceforlifewithlynn.com. And while you're there, sign up for my free email. You'll be the first to get my weekly blog on how to live consciously and peacefully. You'll also get access to my free happiness guide when you sign up. Also, I'm looking for guests with different ways that they can help the Advice for Life with Lynn followers. So reach out. Maybe if you think you've got something to say and you want to be on the podcast. Lastly, please subscribe and rate my podcast on iTunes. I really care about what you think, so tell me how I'm doing. I want your thoughts. The links are in the show notes and also on the website. I want to help as many people as I can with this podcast, so your shares, your subscribes, and reviews help us gain visibility in the iTunes store and they help us reach more people. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. And remember, there is nothing we can't talk about.